if you brought your lesson with you and got it filled in, there's lots of fill-ins today. Sorry about that, but it's just the way it turned out to be this time. But as we look at this, tonight we're talking about the hindrances to good communication. And there's lots of things that can hinder us. And start out here with a checklist, you know, the things that we should check. And as I went down through these, I highlighted some of the things that he mentioned in there. And I hope you're highlighting in your book and underlying stuff, because it can be a help to you if you do that. But the first thing is to check our attitudes. You know, a lot of times our attitudes do get wrong. You know, if we're talking to somebody, and if our attitude is wrong, then our speech is almost always going to be wrong. We're going to say something that's not right if we got a bad attitude. And he talks about an arrogant or superior attitude, where we're talking down to people, an indignant or refusing to listen attitude. And then the third one he mentions there is a deep-seated resentment or bitterness. And then the last one, indifference or apathy. All right, so these are four different attitudes that we may have that are going to stand in the way of our good communication. Can you think of any others that would go along with that? Something besides this that as an attitude that we would need to guard against that's going to hinder us. A lot of times we don't like to admit our attitudes, at least I know I find that a problem. When we have an issue that, you know, our attitudes aren't right, it's humbling to say, all right, yeah, I'm wrong. I shouldn't have that kind of an attitude. But we do really need to watch our attitudes, because our attitudes do get in our way. Any comments on that before we move to the next? Okay. And then the next one, he talks about checking our words. And again, here he talks about harsh words, cutting words, and lying and deceitful words, exaggeration words, and then foul language words. And these are things, again, that we need to be very cautious and careful about. And when we think of harsh words, you know, those are the words that are just unnecessarily sharp or unkind. And that's probably one category that we fall into frequently, is just being a little bit unkind. And obviously the Lord doesn't want us to lie and be deceitful, but sometimes those kind of things creep in there. Exaggeration, we all exaggerate our good points and minimize our bad points. That's very typical. And if you have a problem with in your communication, especially with your spouse, using language that would be considered foul or bad language, obviously that needs to be dealt with severely. And if you squawk and carry on, you need to... All right, get it right with your mate. It's all right. It's all right, Peter.
I told you before.
It's all right. They'll be all right. They'll be fine. Then he talks about checking our actions. It's not only our attitudes, our words, but also our actions, and how that we need to be good listeners. And that's all right. These birds are interrupting us. Oh, okay. Sit closer to the birds, that'll help.
Thank you.
With the birds squeaking. That's all right. The competition will be over once they're done eating.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we need to check our actions. You know, make sure we're not quick to interrupt. You know, sometimes there's a tendency for us to interrupt, and he talks about one example of the interruption is, you know, just finishing what our spouse is going to say and kind of butting in and, you know, finishing their statement. Another wrong action there he mentions is explosive anger, and we're going to see that in the next article as well. And then blame shifting, that's a real common one. You know, it's not my fault, it's your fault. If you wouldn't have said that, I wouldn't have said this. And so there's all this blame shifting. And then an unwillingness to confess our faults. And in some situations, that can be a real problem. Some people have a real hard time humbling themselves and saying, I was wrong. And I think a lot of this is that, you know, children grow up in families where they're not taught to say, I was wrong, please forgive me. And they just, you know, they just brush it under the rug and we just stop talking about it and they go on with life. And that's not the way to handle it. And we need to get into a good habit of always confessing and taking care of it and letting things settle. And it's never right to just cover up stuff and ignore it. That's always going to get us into trouble. So, on this first section here, and checking our communication, any thoughts on this? On
the, what? It says, see footnote for the full website article, was that?
Okay, you look at. All right, that's a good question. You look in the back of the book, and I got all your end notes back here. All right, so the footnote for this first one here is the footnote 6. All right, so you look back here, homework manual. All right, and so there's all this information back here. There's websites on some. There's a website here on number 6. And you can look up those websites, and it's got the full article that I've gleaned from. Okay, so that's what that's from.
Okay.
Okay, so I put that there for you so that you can go back and look for that information and get more information. Because it didn't include everything they said. I just picked and chose some of the stuff to fit into the scheme of things here so that we could benefit from it. Okay? Good question. Yeah. All right. Anything else? So this next one here is by a biblical counselor, Terry Coomer. And I've read quite a few of his articles over the years. And he's a Baptist preacher and he's got some really good, he's a good thinker. And he's a good communicator. And he mentions here three weapons that kill communication. And he's got some very legitimate arguments here. First of all, explosion, dealing with anger. You know, if we have a problem with anger, anger's going to mess up our communication. We're not going to be able to communicate when somebody's angry. You just don't get anywhere because if there's anger, you're just shouting back and forth at each other. You're really not making any progress. And so that has to be dealt with. And he mentions there that one of the reasons for hostility is because of self-protection. You know, we're just trying to defend ourselves instead of humbling ourselves. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So God tells us that, you know, if we're going to communicate right, we've got to get rid of that. We got to get that out of our life and out of our vocabulary and get that out of our communication there. And then he mentions there toward the end of that paragraph on explosion, he says, what this does is to teach our spouse that you cannot come to that close to my intimate weakness. If you do, I will explode. And you know, you stop and think about that statement. I've underlined that statement because I think that's very, very powerful. Sometimes people, you know, they're okay, they can communicate, but if you get too close to a touchy area in their life, then they just explode. And they explode to be able to stop the progress. I don't want to talk about that. We're going to not get into that area. And they explode to try to stop that. And in the very next one, he mentions something very similar with the tears. And he says that, you know, that a similar thing often happens. And he didn't say that men never cry, but he does say there that it's typical of the women. And that it is true. We all know that to be true. That, you know, if you get too close to their where they don't want to go and you start talking about something that they don't want to do and they just start crying. And then what's a man supposed to do? His wife's crying. And he says, stop your crying. And then he pours out more tears and it doesn't, it just interferes with that. But he says here that the same thing. It's just a matter of getting too close to their touchy areas. And then he mentions something here at the end that he didn't really clarify very well. He says, the last sentence there on the page, he says, men, you need to learn to distinguish between your wife's tears of emotion, stress, joy, and self-pity. But then he doesn't explain what he just meant by that. And the idea here is that there is a difference between genuine cries that need to be done, and there's other times when they're pouring on the tears just to get off of the topic. All right? And he says that you need to distinguish between the two, but he didn't say what to do about it. I mean, if you did distinguish, and I can say, yeah, well, I can tell right now that she's crying because she's really hurting inside, then I guess I'm supposed to, that should bring out more empathy and passion. But if she's crying just because I touched on something that she doesn't want to talk about, then we got to work around that. So I guess that's the idea of it there. We got to be able to sense that and know whether to just find another angle around the situation so we can deal with this problem, or whether it's just time to, you know, let her calm down and calm down her emotions. But he mentions there, do not despise your wife's tears. Be patient and kind. They're emotional creatures you married. And that is true. There's no question about that. We shouldn't despise the tears. There's nothing wrong with tears. But we just need to be careful not to use them in a wrong way. And so if any of you ladies, you know, that's one of your ways of dealing with things, when you don't like things going too close to your touchy areas, then maybe that's an area you need to ask God to help you to be able to control. All right? So that is an important thing.
Would it be a bit more understanding?
Well, I mean, us guys need to be more understanding of our wives, but also what he's saying is that if you don't want me to talk about your lying problem, and I get too close to your lying problem, and you just start crying to get off the topic, then he's saying, all right, then.
I haven't tried that, actually.
Anyway, you see what I'm saying. Well, I think so. Well, see, that's why I say he didn't really clarify that, but I think that in the context of what he's saying there is that if they're turning on the tears just to change the subject because I don't like you talking about this because this always upsets me. Every time you get to this area, it upsets me. Then that needs to be dealt with. That's an issue. There's a problem there. And as I use the illustration with Inika here, if it was lying I start asking her about lying and she pours on the tears and to try to get off that topic, that's not right. But at the same time, if something in the conversation comes up that was a genuine heartache, you know, a loved one that died or whatever the case may be, and you're genuinely pouring on tears over something genuine, then there needs to be empathy from the other person. And discerning between the two, I mean, you just got to look at the context, I guess.
Do you think the fake tears, if you like, would come with a lot of excuses?
Well, probably. It all depends on the person's personality, I suppose. Some people just, you know, start crying when things they don't like to talk about a particular topic, and they just start pouring on the tears. So let's just not talk about that, because if you do, I'm going to cry. And
we have lots of reasons for crying.
I know. Well, that's why it's hard for us guys to be able to discern we need to be discerning, not to just cry about, or not to just assume that the issue was of no value. Okay. So that's a good question, though, but and I don't know that I have a...
We cry because we're happy, too.
Yes, and he mentions that, too, there, about the joy. Okay. All right, and then the next one is silence. And that's something that is quite common. You know, when we get into an area where we don't want to talk, we just go quiet. And sometimes that can be good in the sense that it's better than being explosive, but if it's something that needs to be talked about and you just shut up and won't talk, then you're not going to accomplish any communication there either. So if you're dealing with an issue that needs to be talked over and one or the other just decides, you know, I don't like that conversation and I don't want to talk about it and it's upsetting me, so I'm just going to be quiet and I'm not going to say anything, well, then the conversation ends because you can't communicate with someone that's not talking. So it is something we have to watch over and guard against. And he lists two verses here, the Ephesians 4:30-32 plus Galatians 5:16. And in Galatians 5:16 there, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then he asks this important question, you know, so what is the answer? Well, the right here is very simple in this verse. He says the Christian is not walking in the Spirit and is fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And this leads to disaster in their marriage and in their children. And then he states there, what kind of children does a lust of the flesh Christian produce? Lust of the flesh child. And that's so true, you know, that when we respond in a fleshly way, that's going to come out in our family as well.
You're going to think that that's perfectly normal, then
yes.
I can do that.
And that happens regularly. Mm. Okay. And then the last statement he makes here in the paragraph here, you cannot be angry at your wife or your husband and walk in the Spirit. It's not possible. And, you know, when that happens, when we're angry, we need to admit that that was not right. And we need to get it right. And we need to get it right with each other and apologize to each other for these things. So, any comments on Terry Coomer's comments here about the things that kill communication? Explosion, tears, and silence. Yes? You're saying to not admit your fault. Is that what you're saying?
Well, we or people, maybe the reason why it's so hard to say I was wrong, I did this, I was wrong, is because of the world we're growing
yeah.
up in.
Yeah, I think that that's part of it. Part of it's our human nature, too, that we don't want to take the blame for things. But at the same time, yeah, there's a lot of that in our world. And people do things.
The main problem is that we can't see our own faults as well as what we can see other people's faults.
That's true. All right. Now, this next section here is, lots of verses. And if you looked them up and wrote your little answers in there, then I'm not going to look up all these verses. It would take us, you know, far too long tonight to do that.
Yeah, it took me quite a while to do that.
But at least they're all in order, so you didn't have to be flipping back and forth and back and forth in your Bible to do that. But so what I'll do is we'll go down through, I'll read the verse title, and then somebody can give us a summary of the harm that this causes communication. Now, some of them didn't specifically talk about communication, but it's talking about things that cause harm in communication. All right, so Psalm 19:14, what was that one? Anybody want to share your answer on that one?
Yeah.
Monica?
Words and thoughts need to be building up people and not tearing them down.
Okay. Monica, what'd you say?
It's also our words.
Okay. All right, so our words and our words and our meditations need to be acceptable. Right? They need to be acceptable. All right? Then the second one, Proverbs 10:12. What's he mentioned there?
My answer for the first one you just mentioned was unacceptable work. Because
yep.
The question is things that harm.
Yep. And that's what I had down with mine. I have unacceptable words and yeah. meditations. So, okay, good. The second one? Hatred. Yes, all right. Pretty straightforward on that one. Proverbs 10:14.
Foolish words are no good.
Okay, foolish words. Any other thoughts on that one?
Destructive words.
Okay, yeah, I mean, foolish words would be destructive words. He talks about lack of knowledge there in that as well. All right, Proverbs 10:17. Refusing reproof is what it actually talks about there. All right, if you want to put it in your own words, that's fine too. But refusing reproof.
Be more patient and listen to the Holy Spirit.
Yes, the Holy Spirit, and also sometimes even to others that are talking with us. You know, the reproof may come from our spouse. It may come from our parent, and you know, for kids. And refusing to listen to that is going to hinder it. All right, Proverbs 10:18. Okay, there's slander in there.
Hatred.
Lying. Okay, all three of those are in there. Slander, hatred, and lying. Okay. 10:32.
Pretending things are fine when they're not.
Yes, well, that's part of that as well. Okay, Proverbs 10:32. Okay, so what's that mean? Okay, yeah, sort of. I looked at the word. It means its primary meaning is perverse. Not in a perverted way, but it means it has to do with not correct, fraudulent. So forward talk would be fraudulent talk, or talk that isn't accurate, isn't, you know, it'd be like when we may accuse somebody of something and our words really aren't accurate. We're really saying something that's not true. We're stretching it, and it's out of proportion here. So it's perverse.
You should speak the truth in love.
So fraudulent. Okay, next one. Proverbs 11:9. Hypocrisy. That's what I had too. Hypocrisy.
Don't say one thing and mean another.
Yep. Well, that's a good definition of hypocrisy. Good. Okay. Proverbs 12:16.
Okay. Well.
All right. Anybody else? Okay. All that. I mean, this was one of those that wasn't as clear. What I put down is lack of prudence. It's a verse that talked about.
Which one are we up to?
Number eight. Yeah. Okay. All right. So the next one there, number 9, Proverbs 12:18.
Don't have sharp or harsh words.
Okay.
Piercing words.
Talked about the sword. Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's cutting, sharp, hurtful. Okay, then 13:3.
Well, you were talking about silence before, but sometimes silence can be good.
Yeah.
Destructive words.
Okay. Okay. Could be destructive words. Mm-hmm. What's the main root of what he was saying? Anybody else got another slant on that? Okay. Unguarded. What'd you have, Mel?
I just wrote down opening wider lips.
Okay, so just it's the idea here is saying what you think. Just open up your mouth and let it all out, whether somebody likes it or not.
No.
You know, and that can get us in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
All right. So all those other things you said were aspects of that.
Yes.
Okay. Then 14:29.
Being in fellowship with God.
Okay.
If we're not in fellowship with God, we have problems communicating.
Yeah. So, okay. Hasty spirit. All right. Being of a hasty spirit. So just get fired up too quickly. All right. And then 15:1. Okay. Speaking grievous words. Good. And then 16:28. I have that word forward again.
Don't say things without thinking first.
Okay. Okay. Garrett?
Get your foot out of your mouth.
Sorry, Garrett, I didn't hear you.
The sowing strife.
Okay, strife, or whispering, slander. Forward there again is perverse. Something that's not accurate, it's twisted.
What are we talking about now? Number 14.
Number 13.
Right.
Number 14.
Don't gossip or listen to gossip.
Okay. All right. Gossiping. What did you say, Shar?
Broadcasting others' transgressions. Broadcasting, telling.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Tell them what people have. Especially if it's been forgiven. That's something we need to be real careful about. He talks about their not repeating a matter. And, you know, even in our conversations with our spouse. You know, maybe you had a spat over something that, you know, she burned the potatoes. All right, so we had a bit of a spat over the potatoes being burned. And got it taken care of, forgiven. Don't bring it up again. All right, so repeating a matter might even be something as simple as that, just bringing it back up again. And I just use a silly little illustration there, but it doesn't matter what it is that you've had a disagreement over and you've gotten it right and you've forgiven each other, we need to make sure that we don't repeat that matter again and bring it back up again.
We women have got a very good memory. That's the problem.
But see, the thing is, when the next time a situation comes up, if you dig up that dirt again that's already been forgiven, that's not right.
That's what I'm saying. We remember these things. We might forgive you, but we still remember it.
So we just need to ask the Lord to help us to put it on the back burner and not let it come back up. Okay. Let's not be like a cow that chews its cud. All right. Number 15.
I'll put down nagging does no good, only harm.
Okay, nagging. Mm-hmm. Garrett? Contention? Any other ideas?
Stress?
Strife. Okay.
Strife.
Right. So he's talking about meddling. All right. The word meddle actually means to expose. You know, so if you're meddling, you're just exposing stuff that needs to be just left alone. So that's the actual meaning of the word there. But all those other things are all hand and part of that. And then number 16, we've had one like this one before. Number 16.
Well, I'm just kind of aware of it in a simple way. I said not holding back words. You don't hold anything back, you just say it all.
Yeah. Yeah, saying too much. You're right.
Yeah, this one got down. Yeah,
saying
too
much.
Too much.
And not keep quiet when we need to keep quiet. All right, good. Number 17. Sasha?
Tail bearing.
Alright. Alright. Arguments, aggravating, gossip and tail bearing are brother and sister.
Get the facts right before you say something foolish.
Alright, number 18. No?
Answering before hearing the matter.
Okay, so making comments before we have all the facts.
Let the other person speak and learn to listen.
You know, many times we open our mouths and we say our thoughts before we've heard the whole situation. And a lot of times we just keep our mouth shut until we've heard the whole details. We may not say the same things. Okay, number 19. Okay. Yeah. Yep. The power of the tongue. It's
little mouth. Careful what you say.
Yeah. And just remembering that our mouth does have a lot of power. Yeah, and sometimes we don't realize that, or we don't remember it, but our words have a big impact.
Once they're out there, you can't fight them back either.
And sometimes people remember things. I mean, sometimes we'll say things. You know, I remember as a boy, sometimes boys are notorious for kind of calling each other names, and we get used to that, you know, the boys. But you try doing that to a girl, and they go to pieces. There's this one time I called this girl a name, and if it would have been a boy, he would have brushed it off, but she didn't, man. She got really, you know, I was probably only about 7 or 8 years old, but I remember because she went running to mama, and then I heard about it. You know, Scott said this about me. And then my dad called me in, and we had a good old talk, and I said, oh, yes. Boy. If it would have been a boy, he wouldn't have even paid any attention, but it was, you know, but that's all right. I shouldn't have done it. It wasn't, I was right, but I'm just, the power of the tongue. Number 20. Any ideas on that one?
Yeah.
Unfriendly. That's what I had too. All right.
Sorry,
being unfriendly.
Yeah, I said, if you want friends, be open to it.
Okay. Number 21.
Show forgiveness.
Angry.
Angry. All right, so you guys had anger. Any other ideas? Talks about lack of discretion.
Yeah.
Discretion there means prudence or insight.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to lack prudence or lack insight, you know, we respond in the wrong way. It may be in anger. In some other way, we're just not responding in a prudent or careful way. All right, number 22. No?
Meddling.
All right, what's meddling?
Getting involved.
Yeah, getting involved or not supposed to. Talks one of the verses in Proverbs talks about meddling was like holding a dog's ears.
Yeah.
You grab on a dog's ears and you're bound to get bit because you're meddling. Leave the thing alone. All right, and then 23.
No, I didn't get that.
Not keeping our words.
Okay, yeah, keeping or guarding our tongue, our words. All right, good.
I said ask God to keep us from blurting out all and sundry, whatever we want.
Yeah, that's true too. All right, number 24.
What about gossiping?
Deceit, all right, false reports, deceit.
Be forgiving about it.
Okay, yeah.
Don't.
Yeah.
Sort of have anything to do with the gossiping.
Okay, number 25.
Return revenge.
Sorry, revenge, yes. I put on payback. This is a big problem. Big problem in Papua New Guinea. But, I mean, it's a problem for all of us, but in Papua New Guinea, they take it serious. You know, it's payback for everything. You did this, and I'm going to pay you back.
James 1:20 tells us that our righteousness is not good.
Yes. Okay. Number 26.
Haste,
okay? Haste in striving or quarreling. All right. Getting involved in quarrels with people.
Don't jump in because you think you know better.
Yeah. And then 27. Okay, an angry countenance, that's true.
I understand that one, number 27.
Okay. Anybody? Okay, well, let's just... I put backbiting too, so let me just read the verse. Proverbs, right, it's number 27, so Proverbs 25, 23. Okay. Proverbs 25, 23. This is an unusual verse. It says, the north wind driveth away rain, so did an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. All right, so the idea here is that if I come to you and start telling you some juicy gossip, and you give me a angry countenance, like, you know, I don't want to hear this.
I don't want to hear this.
Then it helps to shut it down. But if you say, oh yeah, what else did you do? And then we egg it on. So the idea here seems to be to just give show that our disapproval. Alright? And I know that that verse, I've looked it up in the Hebrew before, and it is a difficult verse to translate. And so there's some different ideas on how the verse. It probably is.
It's a colloquial thing at the time, so it probably doesn't make any sense to us.
Yeah, it probably was. Yeah, I mean, that's probably a good way of putting it.
Cats, blaming cats and dogs. If we reverse translated and they got somehow out of time, they moved probably out of food.
Yeah, so that very well may be what we're dealing with there in that verse, but it is a complicated verse. All right, good. All right,
thank you very much for that.
Number 28.
Don't give the enemy any edge to get in.
Okay. All right, Gerard?
Unruling spirit.
All right, have an unruled spirit. That's part of it too. 29. This is one I'm surprised we haven't touched on this one yet. But Proverbs.
It's wrong to have pride.
Pride
comes before
yeah,
all. Yeah,
pride's going to get us into trouble, and pride keeps us from speaking right and doing right and acting right and responding right. All right, number 30. This one we've already touched on in another way a little bit.
All our mind.
Yeah, just
being obnoxious.
Saying what we think. And a lot of times we need to just keep our mouth shut.
Wait till you've heard the whole story before you say anything.
You know, and just the idea of just opening our mouth and letting all our mind out. Mm. And then number 31.
Anger.
Anger and furiousness gets us nowhere.
Okay, number 32. This is an interesting verse. Any thoughts on this one?
That's another one I had a bit of a problem with. Forcing wrath. What's that?
Okay, let's take a look at that verse. All right, Proverbs 30:33. This is an interesting verse. I like this verse. It's a farm verse, and maybe that's why. All right. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. All right, now he uses two illustrations. How any of you ever churned milk before? Yeah.
Real milk. I think people need to understand that milk isn't that it just came from the cow, not the stuff you get at the shops. It's already had the fat taken.
Yeah, you get the fresh milk and you put it in a butter churn, or you can churn it other ways, but a butter churn is a lot easier. We used to. My mom's got a small little butter churn. You put the milk in there and you turn this paddle. And we used to turn it and turn it. Mom, it's not working. Keep going. It's not working, Mom. I keep going. Oh, my arm's killing me. Keep going. It's not done yet. Oh, all of a sudden, oh, Mom, there's something wrong. Boom, 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 boom. Ah, it's working now. And then the butter starts bobbling around in there. And then, so it takes a lot of time, but it's the churning of that milk that gets to do that. And then he says the ringing of the nose brings forth blood. All right? So you grab on somebody's nose, what's going to happen? Well, they're going to get a nosebleed. All right? So the two things, he uses the two illustrations, and he says, so the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife.
Oh, I don't know how true it is, but I once heard a missionary tell the story of this. It's a legend of this evangelist in America years ago, like in the early days of America. And the legend goes that people would always ask him, to prove one verse in the Bible, I believe. And apparently the thing he would do is grab his butt and nose and yank it till it bled, and he chose that verse. See, he says, see, I told you. The Bible's true.
Yeah, today you'd get in trouble for that. Yeah, back in those days. It probably was. Garrett.
Kind of like the idea of being contentious. You're purposely saying something, on purposely aggravating it to bring it.
Well, it's just like using these illustrations, the churning of the milk is just whipping it, and the wringing of the nose is just grabbing on it and jerking at it. Well, both of them are intentional, forceful, irritating. The aggression there. And he says, that's the idea here, that kind of aggression brings forth strife. And he says, you need to stay calm. Don't stir it up. It's the idea of stirring up the anger rather than letting it go calm. All right, so, good. All right.
Okay.
All right, then number 33, we moved into the New Testament. This one's several verses there, and it's a little harder to pick out the idea of it. Any thoughts on that one? Garrett?
Let's put some words like hypocrisy and idle words.
Okay.
Useless
words. All right, any other? Evil
heart?
Yeah, an evil heart was a lot, they're at the core of it all. All right, good. So there's an evil heart that, you know, when we're thinking about the things that will hinder the communication, an evil heart is one of them. You know, if you got a bad heart and you're not physically, but you're a spiritually bad heart, you're upset about something, it's going to make communication difficult.
I'll put, what would Jesus say and do?
Okay.
We should be thinking of.
Good. Yeah. All right, Ephesians 4:31-32. Already read those verses earlier.
Keep the strife out of our life.
Okay. So what are the things in this that would hinder communication?
We should keep guard of our tongue.
Garrett?
Bitterness and wrath anger, from evil speaking.
Okay, all the forms of anger. And then also the next verse, did anybody see what was the word in the next verse that contributes to it?
Malice.
Malice was, yeah, you're right, malice was in the next verse. But the following verse, he talks about it, the other side of the coin. Yes. Forgiving. All right, and unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. So we need to get rid of the anger. We need to be forgiving. If there's not forgiveness, and hold on that, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. Then the last one here, James 1:26. Pretty easy one, but what's it mean?
Saying whatever you want. Out of control.
All right, so what's it mean to bridle the tongue?
Yeah. Keeps it in check.
It forces it to do what's right. Yeah. You can guide it. You can, you know, it's just, so God wants us to have a bridled tongue, one that can be guided and directed in the right direction so that it doesn't just run off wild. It's kind of like my dog in the morning. If I let her off the lead in the park, she just runs off and does foolish things all over the place. You know, she smells every tree and every bush. And I say, get back over here. But I always have a little lecture with her now. And I says, all right, now if I'm going to let you loose, you're going to have to come when I call you. And she knows exactly what I'm talking about. And she'll stretch out her own. And she says, and I says, all right, I know you know what I'm talking about. So you come when I call you. And so she'll run off and I'll call her. She'll look up at me. And I said, get over here. She'll come. Mm-hmm. She knows it. But anyway, she doesn't behave real well when I get her, you know, get her off of the bridle. But she does good. All right. So any thoughts or comments about this? There's lots here to think about. But boy, when you think about all these things we've looked at here, there's a lot there for us to help us to see ways that we need to control our tongue, because these are things that will harm our communication if we don't.